Welcome to Elmira Baptist Church Sunday School for June 27th, 2021. And I want to thank everyone for praying for me last weekend as I was unavoidably detained in the ER and the hospital for some tests. And I'm glad to be here and out, and I appreciate your continued prayers that I'll be able to continue teaching this class. And so I am doing okay, got an extra medicine, but the Lord has provided good doctors to help me, and I'm just thankful to be here, thankful for all of you, and I want to, besides issuing a warm welcome to everyone who watches and who is here in Sunday school, say thank you for your help and prayer. I felt those prayers, and thank the Lord for prayer and praying for one another. And an announcement I want to make is that next week, July 4th, in Sunday school at 9:45 a.m., I will be here in person teaching, no longer as the media says, by transcription or recording. So I will be live in person teaching the Sunday school at 9:45 starting July 4th. And so I look forward to that. I look forward to seeing people in the sanctuary as we share, as opposed to just seeing myself and Roy in the empty seats. and speaking of Roy, thanks to Roy for his recording. As always, he does such a great job, and it's highly appreciated. We are looking at Christian character. We're going to be looking at diligence. And let's have a word of prayer before we get started and ask the Lord to be with us for me speaking and your hearing. Father, I thank you for the privilege of sharing your word and sharing these truths about Christian character. Lord, I thank you for your word that gives us all we need for life and godliness. I pray that you would help us this morning. Help me to speak clearly. Help those who are listening to be able to hear what you would have to say to them. And I pray, Father, that you would bless our time together. And each one that is here, we pray for those that are ill and hurting. We pray for healing and comfort. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Christian character. Not as often discussed as it used to be, because the secular world is not interested in character as much as it is success. Well, why do you need character if you're still making the same amount of money? In fact, character could be a hindrance to what you do. Well, we are to be, I hope you have a handout. If you don't have a handout, make sure you try to get one. Christian character, the first page is a review. We are to be followers of Christ, as we read last week before when I was here. 1 Corinthians 11:1 and 1 Corinthians 4:16, that Paul said to the Corinthians and to us, be you followers of me even as I am of Christ, or be you followers of me, be you followers of Christ. And the word followers is the Greek word, a noun, mimetes, spelled M-I-M-E-T-E-S. And it's the word we get mimic from. And it means imitator. We are to be imitators of Christ, of his character, and of his service. So we have talked about, under the note, you'll see, we are to imitate the character of Christ. Our Christian character, that is, who we are in Christ, who he has made us into be, is directly related to our conduct. Who we are in Christ is directly related to our conduct. Our Christian character creates our conduct. That's a review from last week. Character creates conduct. Three C's. Character creates conduct. Many times I've said that. Character creates conduct. But also, conduct reveals character. That's not in your handout. You want to write it down. Conduct reveals our character, and by that I mean how I act actually reveals who I am. Am I a Christian or am I a lost person? Am I following Satan or am I following Christ? Conduct reveals character. Now let's review and look at 1, 2, 3, 4. I have the definition for character, patience, perseverance, and courage. Now I'm doing that because I just want to bring that to our mind again. And then in the box where the note is at the bottom, for the bottom of the page, I'm going to highlight some phrases that will help us distinguish between those things. Because I want us to be well acquainted with what these are. Character. Character are those biblical attributes, qualities, and virtues reflecting Christ's likeness. Now here's God's part. They're bestowed by the Holy Spirit. And here's our part. They're cultivated by the Christian in the process of growth and maturity for the glory of God. Our part, or rather God's part, is that they're bestowed by the Holy Spirit when we're saved. And our part is to cultivate them as in the process of growth and maturity for the glory of God. It takes an effort to cultivate those and to practice those and to do them. Patience. Now, we talk about a cheerful giver. We should be also cheerfully abiding or living in God's will, dwelling in God's will, steadfastly waiting on God's provision with hope, and consistently displaying and growing in maturity in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in spite of or as a result of obstacles, trials, and difficulties. Now, the reason I put that in spite of or as a result of is because patience is built by trials and tribulations that we go through. And it makes us sharper and better and helps us to develop more patience. We get to exercise that muscle, spiritual muscle of patience. So obstacles and difficulties help us build patience. Perseverance, number three, persistent, steadfast, and continual movement and growth toward maturity and Christ's likeness through the power of the Holy Spirit, despite all obstacles. And then courage is one of my favorites here. Courage is complete confidence, faith, and reliance, resting upon God to enable us Christians to meet any challenge as we obey Him and His Word in the Spirit, despite difficulty or danger. Now the note here, this box down here, I've highlighted a phrase for each one of these, perseverance, patience, and courage. These particular elements are aspects of Christian character, and those are meant to help us distinguish between the ones we've done, and I'm going to keep adding to those. Perseverance speaks of our persistent, continual commitment and determination. Commitment and determination, making progress toward growth, maturity, and Christ's likeness in spite of all objects. So perseverance speaks of commitment and determination. And patience reflects our proper attitude and steadfast outlook and following the Lord, abiding in His will and waiting on His provision with hope, assurance, despite all tribulation, and courage. When's the last time somebody talked about courage? Courage. Last 2 weeks ago, right? I talked about it. But before that, we don't hear people talking about courage. Courage relates to our conviction and confidence that God will faithfully provide and we can face and overcome any obstacles as we follow His will. We can trust God to be there for us, to enable us, to help us. Now, at the bottom is the quote that we have used over and over again, and I hope it becomes something that is stuck in your mind in a positive way. Character is the rudder of our souls. And the point is, as our character is, whether it's good or bad, so our course is charted for good or bad. It's set and it's run. So character is the rudder of our souls. We've talked about how character creates our conduct. And also our conduct reveals our character. So let's look at the top of page 2 regarding diligence, and we'll start the new material looking at diligence now. I want to share with you Spurgeon's short quote on John Wesley. He said, "The other day, I saw John Wesley's diary, or rather, his houry. And he's calling it that because he did it on every hour. O-U-H-O-U-R-Y. So his houry, for it had in it not merely an entry for every day, but an entry for every hour. And not only an entry for every hour, but usually there was a distinct occupation for every 20 minutes. The good man made his days to have many hours in them, and his hours seemed to have more minutes in them than most people's hours have, because he did not waste any of them, but diligently used them in his master's service." And that is what we should be doing. Diligent and being like Christ and acting like Christ. That's diligence. So I have one other quote, and excuse me. I don't know, some of you did this experiment when you were a young child, and it was fascinating. You took a magnifying glass and you focused it on something like a piece of cotton or a little stick or some other combustible material, and as you focused the light rays into a pinpoint and held it there patiently, it would catch fire. Well, just as a magnifying glass focuses the sun's rays to ignite an object, our diligence focuses the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to set our hearts ablaze for the glory of God. The fire is our desire to be like Christ and to love Him and serve Him fully with all we have. The fire is our desire to be like Christ and to love and serve Him fully with all we have. And that's my quote. So, we have a definition from the dictionary, dictionary.com. Secular, the world looks at diligence as the constant and earnest effort to accomplish what is undertaken, persistent exertion of body or mind. Now, I want to overlay the spiritual aspect to that. So I have a spiritual definition, and I want you to think with me here. And if you see spiritual definition comprehensive, in parentheses there, as you see that there's two bullets. There's a part one and a part two. If you want to put one and two, or A and B, that would be great. So you see the first part is A. In love and complete earnestness, God desires that we, and then colon, and then A through E, okay? So, let's look at the second part. God desires that we eagerly and carefully and conscientiously, and then there's a colon, and then there's three things, A, B, C. So, I want to share with you the distinction of the first part. That has to do first part, in love and complete earnestness, God desires that we. The first part has to do with what we do with God's help. So what we do, okay? And the second part has to do with why we do it. What we do in the first part and why we do it, okay? And then all of the things in the second part have to do with serving Him fully. So let's look at those. First part, what we do. In love and complete earnestness, God desires that we strive in the power of the Holy Spirit, exert our total effort, labor with detailed and thoughtful consideration. That is, in other words, pay attention to what you're doing in detail. And indeed, develop Christ-like Christian character. E, in expectation of His imminent, any time now, return, and glorifying God. Glorifying God is not on there. You can add that if you would like. So, strive in the power of the Holy Spirit, exert our total effort, labor with detailed and thoughtful consideration, and develop Christ-like Christian character. in expectation of his imminent return and glorifying God. That's what we're doing for the second part of the definition, is why we're doing it. And we're going to be serving him fully. God also desires that we eagerly and carefully and conscientiously walk in the Spirit, follow his will, and serve him faithfully. The things in part A, or part one, help us with part two, to be able to do those. Now you're probably saying, but Scotty, you just described the whole Christian life in that outline that you made. And that's right, because we're to be diligent in doing the things we know to do. We know we need to be like Christ. We know we need to do the things and the work of the ministry. And that is what diligence, we're to be diligent about. I have an anonymous quote here. We're going to be looking at 2 Peter 1, if you want to turn there. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11. And we have the same split. We have verses 5 through 11, and I'm sorry, verses 1 through 4 and 5 through 11. But I want to give you this quote first. It's very short. It's anonymous. Peter writes in his letter here that we're going to be looking at in just a minute. We'll read it. That we should make every effort. We should be diligent to cultivate Christ-like character qualities. Most of us have goals that revolve around what we want to accomplish rather than who we are, but God wants us to develop Christ-like character. When we focus on being the person that God wants us to be, then we can accomplish what he wants us to do. So who we are is very important, because it and who we become, so that we can do what he has asked us to do. Let's look at 1 Peter 1 through 4 first here. We are, let me read that note. Diligent is the earnest and detailed care for the and painstaking attention to be like Christ, one, and two, to complete our work in ministry according to his will through the power of Christ. We cannot be successful in doing his work if we don't have his character. We cannot, it is, you cannot do that. You can try, you cannot do that. It's all through his power. Now, if you notice at page one, the words that are underlined, this is going to be the distinctive statement that helps us differentiate this from other character qualities. Earnest, detailed care, and painstaking attention to be like Christ and complete our work in ministry. So let's read 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4. Now, the first part of this is going to be, if you want to write it down somewhere, the first part of this, 1 through 4, is God's part. It's power, his power that he gives us, and his promise. It's what we will have and what we do have, okay? It's the enablement, okay? Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge and of Jesus our Lord. Now here are the things that he has given to us, power and promise. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, by these ye might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So he has given us all we need to do what he wants us to do. We're to be like Christ, and we're serving him in ministry. He equips us, he enables us, is that he gives us power and promises to help us be what God wants us to be. And let's look at verses 5 through 11. This is our part. The first part is God's part. This part is our part, and it has to do with faith and diligence. This is what we have is the first part because of what God has done, and this is what we do as a result of that. And besides this, verse 5, 2 Peter 1, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, in other words, not like that, but instead, brethren, give diligence to your calling and election to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so many entrants shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The first time diligence is used, it's a noun in verse 5. In verse 10, it's a verb. Let's look at verse 5, the second bullet under note, middle of the page. Verse 5 is the Greek word spoude, S-P-O-U-D-E. It's a noun pronounced spoude. It means earnestness, zeal, and haste, and eagerness, and urgency. It's translated diligence, earnestness, carefulness, earnest care, and care. So, the second verb means to be all the more diligent, make haste, to be zealous, and be eager. And that's the word spoudazo. We'll talk about that again in a minute. So I would like to read to you a brief portion of what John MacArthur's brief commentary says about this passage and the diligence here. And there's some imagery in the words I want you to see and be aware of how much it fits this verse. Because MacArthur says, because of all the God-given blessings in 3 and 4, we read that, according to his divine power, has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The believer, because of all those God-given blessings, the believer cannot be indifferent, or apathetic, or self-satisfied. Such an abundance of divine grace calls for total dedication. Make every effort. Be diligent. That is, making maximum effort. The Christian life is not lived to the honor of God without our effort. Even though God has poured his divine power into the believer, the Christian himself is required to make every disciplined effort alongside of what God has done. And not only that, but you see that we are to add to our faith virtue and go on knowledge. That parallels the fruits of the Spirit very closely. Add to your faith virtue and so forth. That means to supplement our faith, add to our faith. And that word add or supplement means to give lavishly and generously. In Greek culture, the word was used for a choir master who was responsible for supplying everything that was needed for his choir, both in knowledge and skill, and teaching them, and everything else that they used. The word never meant to equip sparingly for God, but to supply lavishly for a noble performance. And that's just like God has given us faith and all the graces necessary for godliness. Verses 3 and 4 of 2 Peter. We add to those by our diligent devotion to personal righteousness. That's our developing character. The word virtue, first in Peter's list of virtues, is a word that, in classical Greek, meant the God-given ability to perform heroic deeds. It also came to mean that quality of life that made someone stand out as excellent. God has given us the virtues, the quality of enablement to perform heroic deeds. Obeying and loving and serving God is heroic. You want to know what heroism is? It is, the imagery here reflects that it is serving God fully in love. And love is related to diligence, because if we love Him, we'll be diligent in wanting to be like Him and serve Him in ministry. And God has enabled us to do that. I love the richness of the imagery behind the word virtue and diligence. Now, sometimes people have the idea that we should just let go and let God. And I found a quote that I really like from D.A. Carson from a book he wrote. He says, The real biblical pattern is not to let go and let God. It's not to let go and let God. It's not even God has done his bit and now it's all up to you. But rather, the real pattern is, since God is powerfully at work in you, you yourself must make every effort. As Paul said in Philippians 2, 12, and 13, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. In other words, spiritual growth involves God's resources as the foundation, but also our responsibility and effort in addition to that. You won't grow spiritually if you don't deliberately work at it. That's why in our definition, God bestows and we cultivate. In simple terms, Peter is saying, now it's your turn. Yes, God has given us all the necessary spiritual resources, but now we are responsible to use them. Remember, beloved, the spiritual growth occurs when doing follows hearing. And we are not only to be hearers of the word, but doers also. Let's look at some examples briefly. In the interest of time, I'm going to not read all the passage. In Acts 9, 36 through 42, Dorcas, also named Tabitha, she was diligent through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when Peter came to, after she had died, and before he raised her from the dead, he walked into the room where she was there, and all of the widows were there, inside and outside, that were showing all the things that Dorcas had made for them and done for them. And those items that she had made for them were reflections of her diligence in being Christ-like and serving and meeting their needs and even putting clothes on their back. And so she was a diligent servant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Ruth, in Ruth 1:14 and chapter 2, 11 through 12, as you know, Ruth went with Naomi, and they left from where they were outside of Israel and came. All the husbands died. The sister-in-law's husband died. Naomi's husband died, and Ruth's husband died. And so they decided to go back to Israel to live, because they thought they could live there with the help of relatives. And Boaz said to her in verse 12, 11 of chapter 2, so Ruth 2, 11, and Boaz answered and said unto her, it has been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou left thy father and mother, you left your own father and mother from the land of your nativity or birth, and have come into a people which you don't even know. And he said, the Lord recompense or reward your work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, whose wings thou art come to trust. He recognized her diligence. Her conduct reflected her character, and it reflected the trust that she had in God. And it was a testimony to Boaz, who fell in love with her and married her. And diligence in service to her mother-in-law and her service to God and her trust in God. Now, I'm going to skip the negative, the 10 virgins and the disciples. The disciples are particularly distinctive in that they fell asleep at least two times and possibly three times while the Lord went to pray. And he said, couldn't you just watch with me this 1 hour? And it was a sad time. A lack of diligence in praying and watching. Fatigue got the better of them. Let's look at, now on the top of page 3, principles. Now, we've learned that we are to apply diligence in adding Christian character to our faith. In 2 Peter 1, 3 through 8 that we just read. And Paul Apple says, here we see in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, the relationship of the sovereignty of God. He's given us everything that we need to do this. And then the human responsibility, which is our responsibility to react to God in love and service and obedience and develop Christ-like character and carry out the work of the ministry. God enables, man serves. And he says, here's the juxtaposition or the relationship between the sovereignty of God and human responsibility. We are not called, he says this again, from what we read earlier, we are not called to let God let go and let God do everything. We're not called to do that. But we're called to trust God and get going. We are called to exercise faith and apply all diligence to live like God. Live like He wants us to. Not to work hard in order to be saved, but to work hard because we have been saved. Be quick to add these qualities into your life. That's what this means. Diligence. The idea of eagerness. The idea of haste. Don't procrastinate. Earnestness. Zeal. The use of the word is in 2 Peter 5 and 1:10. 2 Peter 1, 5, 1:10, 15, and chapter 3, verse 14. It has an important tone. We have to keep applying this same diligence, he says, throughout your whole life. You never advance beyond this to some resting point where you don't need to practice self-denial and discipline and effort. This verb has a sense of urgency, of haste, of eagerness. With diligence, we're to serve the Lord and add Christian character to our faith. Number 2, Christians are to use diligence in doing these things to prove, make sure and validate our calling and election by developing Christian virtues and Christian character. We read that in 2 Peter 1, verse 9 and 10. And you can also read that in Hebrews 6. I'm going to get over to where I have those passages. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fail. Paul will. John Piper wrote again regarding this issue. He said, this is an illustration that was a little bit hard for me to understand, so I'm going to try to highlight so you can see. It's about two people that went fishing and got out of the boat. John Piper illustrates the deceptive danger of disobeying Paul's clear command to be diligent. And this is from Don't Float, Swim Hard. Last week I read a true story to the boys, his sons, I believe, entitled Glinda's Long Swim and the Incredible Series. Apparently this was a kid's book. Glinda and Robert Lennon were 4 miles off the coast of Florida fishing alone from their yacht. Glinda decided to take a swim and soon found that the current had carried her too far out from the boat and she couldn't get back. Her husband, hearing her cries, immediately, without thinking, dove off his boat and swam to her. But then realized they were both out of the boat and they both of them could not get back to the boat. And they were both realized that they were being carried out to sea. Now, he was a champion swimmer, but she was not. They made a plan. He would swim against the tide to keep the boat in view until the tide ceased, and then he could swim to it. And then he could reach the boat. She should save her strength and just float where she was. and then he would come back in the boat and get her. Well, he fought the tide for 6 hours. And just as the boat was about to disappear over the horizon, this tide turned, and he was able to swim to the boat, but he fell in the boat exhausted. The sun had set. His searching was futile. He could not find his wife. He looked all over. So he reported it. The next day, they went out for one last search effort on the end of the day. And the search party found his wife 20 miles out, but still alive. It was an incredible story. What it illustrates is this. Now here's, pay attention to this nuance. Christians who just float never really stay in the same place. Just as she drifted out 20 miles to her almost destruction, Christians who disobey 2 Peter 1, 5-7 to be diligent and develop in Christian character will and do not apply themselves with diligence to bear the fruit of faith can drift into great peril because they think they're standing still, but they're drifting away. And we must strive just to stand still. The tide of temptation is so strong, there's no staying in the same place. We drift out with the world and the current. The effort towards virtue and knowledge and self-control and patience and godliness and brotherly affection and love is not, these things are not just extras. These are essential. These are not indispensable icing on the cake, but these are essential things that we need. If Robert had not swam with all his might, the yacht would have gone out of sight, and he and his wife would have drowned. But instead, he swam, and he got into that yacht, and then he went, and when he couldn't find her, he got help, because she had drifted away. The evidence that God's power has been given to you by faith is that you are now making every effort to advance in the qualities of Christ. So a good illustration, I think, to help us. Number three, Christians are to be diligent in the last days. And certainly we're living in the last days, fully expecting his return and growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord, being ready and should be ready to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." 2 Peter 3:10. And number four, diligence and being diligent are often associated with the manner in which we live for Christ and the development of Christ's likeness. Hebrews 12:14-17. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, that means looking carefully. And that word is eskapeo. It's the root word that we get bishop from. It's a noun. It means have oversight, a bishop. So looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator perform profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how afterward that when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. We must be diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. And the emphasis here is diligent and being diligent are often associated with the manner in which we live for Christ and the development of Christ's likeness. And the short quote I have from Spurgeon. Spurgeon rightly said, God sends every bird his food. That's God's part. He sends the food. But he doesn't throw it in the nest. We have to get it ourselves. That's our part. I love that imagery. God has provided everything the believer will ever need for life and godliness. That's verse 3 of 2 Peter 1. As well as his precious and magnificent promises, 2 Peter 1, 4. And now, based on this firm foundation of truth, Peter is challenging believers to exercise effort, spiritually enabled, grace-driven effort in order to truly experience His gracious promises for Christ's likeness and development of our character. Now, number five, while we make the effort, the enabling power to be diligent comes from the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18-21. The credit is God's, not ours. So in the interest of time, I will let you read. That's the passage where the fruit of the Spirit is listed. Number six, we are diligent and use diligence because of Christ's life, love for us, and in turn, our love for Him. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, that's in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, through the power of the faith, the Son of God, who loved me, gave Himself for me. We love Christ. He loves us. He loved us first. Now, diligence number seven has nothing to do with ability and everything to do with our love for Christ. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievance. So love is equated with diligence in obeying and serving. Let us look at number eight. Perhaps Christians are less diligent because they love Christ less. Revelation 2:4-5, the church at Ephesus was rebuked because they left their first love. And they were to remember from where they were fallen and repent and do the first works. And the lack of love here is equated and evidenced by a lack of service or works and the diligence to obey and serve is a lack of love. Perhaps we have a lack of love because we don't have the works or service that we should be doing. The lack of diligence could be because we love Christ less. Have we lost our first love? I pray not. I pray that we love Christ with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul. Right here, Matthew 22:37. That's up there to remind us every time we come into the church. We are to love Christ with all our heart, mind, and soul. Now, J. Vernon McGee has a wonderful way of expressing things. And he said, in his unique style, he describes all diligence, reminding us that the Christian life is a very serious business. However, he says, we've made it some sort of extracurricular activity. The present day thinking is that it's not something to be taken into the business world or the schoolroom or the social life. Rather, it's something sort of like your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes that you wear only at certain times. However, Peter said, it's something which we are to do and to give all diligence, living for Christ in every aspect of our lives. Number nine, loving the world, instead of Christ will lead to failure, not diligence. 2 Timothy 4:10 says, for Demas, Paul wrote, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed to Thessalonica. You know, we're to dare to be a Daniel, a faithful, diligent servant of God, not a Demas. Love for God, not this world. We're supposed to love God. We should have our love for God and not have the love for this world. Let the love of God, not the love of this world, shine in our hearts. Let the love of God, not the love of this world, shine in our hearts. Because that leads to failure. And then finally, number 10, diligence in building and using Christian character will keep us from failure. In 1 Peter 1:10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. And this is the verb form of spoudē, diligence. It means to make haste, to be zealous or eager, to exert oneself. We are to give diligence to our development of Christian character and our also service. Paul Van Gorder said that I stood in the cold pre-dawn darkness outside a New York City hotel waiting for the airport bus. The street was deserted. My attention was drawn to one lone man who was cleaning up the glass of the doors of the entrance to the hotel in New York. With great care, he removed every smudge. He even dusted overhead so that no dirt or cobwebs would collect. What made his work so noteworthy was that no one was inspecting it. And throughout the day, many people would go through those doors, smearing the windows with their handprints. Nevertheless, he worked diligently and faithfully with special care to make those glass panels spotless. What a lesson, I thought, for Christians. All of our work should be characterized by such diligence and thoroughness. Even when no human eye looks on and no tongue commends our efforts, we must strive to do our best to the Lord, as unto the Lord. Our willingness to work hard should not result from a desire to win the approval of others, but from a deep awareness that we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul Van Gorder. And indeed, let's look at the summary. It is God's will that we be followers and imitators of Christ, reading from the bottom of page 3 in the summary. We're to be imitators of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to wear the character, attitudes, qualities, and virtues of Christ. We're to bear the fruits of the Spirit. Our diligence reflects our faithfulness to Him and our obedience to God's Word and our love for Him. We're to be diligent by walking in the Spirit in biblical love and unity. We are eagerly and urgently to seek to develop and display Christ-like character through Christian service and ministry for the purpose of glorifying God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this time that we've had to look at diligence. I pray that you would help us to be more diligent, that you would call this to our attention. May we be faithful. May we be conscientious. May we be eager and pursuing to do what we are known we need to do, and that we would develop Christ-like character. I pray that you would bless each person that is here, each person that is watching, and the service to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.